Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Sanjay Touré. We are doing WeWork Radio once again. Sanjay, are you having a good time?
I am having a good time. I always have a good time when we come here.
What's your favorite part of WeWork?
The snacks. The snacks. There's a lot of them. The variety.
What about the convenient location? What about the friendly staff?
Oh, that too.
Those are good too, right?
Yeah.
Well, soon you're going to be on the mic interviewing people, but this one you've given to me.
I have. You can take care of her.
I'm excited. First up, and the only person here in this episode of WeWork Radio is Irene Borum with, don't tell me, Abacus CPA.
Yes.
Did I say your name kind of right?
No, it's perfect. Irene Borum.
Yes. 85%?
85, 90% right.
All right, Irene, tell us about Abacus CPA. How are you serving folks?
Abacus CPA, we're a full cycle tax service, which means we focus on tax planning.
Just tax?
No, we do taxes, outsource CFO services, or some people call it fractional CFO services. Mm-hmm. Compilations, reviews, and audits. So I am specifically small business, entrepreneurs, government contractors, nonprofits. We help you manage your business. For those who can't afford
the financial part.
The financial and tax part, mm-hmm. Yes.
So now some people have people that help with their taxes that are reactive. Like I bring them a shoebox full of stuff. And then they tell me, well, if you would have brought this to me 6 months ago, we could have saved you all this kind of money. It sounds like you are more proactive.
We try to be proactive. My job is to keep you out of trouble.
That's number one.
That's number important. One. And tax planning is super important, mm-hmm. Especially in this day and age with so many different changes to tax code,
right.
Business structures, what they can and can't exempt, just different needs for the business owners are going to change, and you have to be proactive and not just reactive. Reactive is going to cost you money.
Right.
Proactive is going to save you money.
And it's one of those things where a business owner can't keep up with all of this tax changes. Like that would be a full-time job, right? All the regulations change all the time. The rules are always changing. I'm trying to run a business.
Right. So you definitely want to partner with a CPA. And typically for businesses, oftentimes you have to file quarterly estimated taxes. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, most businesses do if you're going to owe more than $1,000 in tax or you don't pay in at least 90% of your taxes throughout the year, which most individuals are covered because they have the payroll withholdings. So if you have to file quarterly, and whether you have to or not have to file quarterly income taxes payments to the federal government, you should at least review. And Abacus also does payroll tax, so which is filed more regularly than
right.
quarterly,
sure.
And also state and local income taxes, in which those areas are a lot of businesses get in trouble. There's a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, and I don't advise you going it on your own. Mm-hmm. Have an expert. You wouldn't represent yourself in a legal case. You definitely don't want to represent yourself with your finances and taxes with the IRS, right. the SEC, and such.
So now you mentioned small business as one of the groups that you serve. How do you define small business?
Small businesses that typically depends on the number of employees and amount of revenue and gross assets. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do is define the population, which to me small to medium-sized businesses, which means you're probably bringing in less than $25 million of revenue, gross revenue. And I can work with larger businesses, but they tend to need more resources. Smaller to medium-sized businesses, I can manage, train them up, automate them their systems where they don't necessarily need me in their office every day.
Right.
And I can train their basic staff, maybe an office manager, a bookkeeper, whomever they have to manage the day-to-day.
So now how many employees do they typically have?
Typically probably less than 20.
Mm-hmm. But it's not the solopreneur that's making, grossing $200,000. Like your clients are a few million and up.
Well, I do deal with entrepreneurs and startup businesses. That's a little bit slightly different. I do like that area, but it's a lot more work. They're not necessarily ready for someone like me.
Right.
So sometimes I do what's called subscription services, and I will grow with the business. So we'll start with the minimal resources that you need, whether it's to help you get funding from a bank, if you're a nonprofit, grant funding,
right,
and things like that. But as your business grows, your financial needs will grow, and then your subscription service can grow.
And then your sweet spot is a little larger firms that have like an office manager that you can train to get,
yes,
what you need so that you can really serve them.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned before we got on air that you were in mergers and acquisitions.
Yes. The AOL Time Warner merger brought me to Atlanta.
Okay.
Way
so
back
that's
when.
A big merger.
That's a big merger. Then I was moved over to Hawks, Thrashers, and Phillips Arena, and I did the sale to the Atlanta Spirit. I merged down the American Cancer Society, had 17 nationwide divisions.
Right.
We merged them down. I also did an acquisition in South Florida for a Crawford & Company, which is a Georgia-based insurance-based,
sure,
company. South Florida, we acquired Broadspire, which was the number two TPA, and I merged them and brought them back up to Atlanta.
So what made you kind of change your focus from those kind of mega companies to the smaller size companies?
Because financial literacy is a huge platform for me, and I believe for us in an economic perspective, for us to truly grow as a company, as an organization as a whole, and as a community as a whole, the small businesses and medium-sized businesses really need that financial expertise that they can't necessarily go out and afford and pay a full-time CFO.
Right.
That's a passion of mine. I want to educate our masses and help those business owners grow so they can hire other people and grow middle America.
So you think that small to mid-sized business, they're kind of the heart of the economy?
I do. I believe that.
And then they're kind of underrepresented with resources like these mega companies.
Very much so, especially women-owned businesses and minority and women-owned businesses, but not just my women and minority-owned businesses, but that whole demographic altogether,
right,
I believe.
So you have a passion for women-owned and minority-owned businesses as well?
Yeah, I have a passion for financial literacy and economic,
uh-huh,
stability and fairness and economic stability and giving people the resources to grow. A lot of business owners have great ideas, great services, great products, but their businesses tend to fail within 2 to 3 years because they don't have the right financial guidance. And I'm here to do that and to help them.
Because that's foundational, right? If you get that wrong at the beginning, you're in trouble down the road, right?
Exactly. And then it can compile. So you can get it wrong at the beginning sometimes, but get somebody in there to fix it quick.
So now what are some of the mistakes you see this small person making?
They tend to go in with not enough assets, not enough capital. They tend to be undercapitalized. They tend to ignore taxes. People are fearful. My tagline for Advocates is taking the fear out of finance because people ignore the situations. They ignore payroll tax. They ignore state and local tax. They ignore the income tax. And they think it's going to go away or we can do it in a year or 2 years because they have cash flow issues. They don't understand how to manage cash management, negotiate vendor agreements, and to build a true foundation from a financial perspective, when to get debt financing versus equity financing, they don't want to necessarily deal with that. They're worrying about getting their product or their service out and getting cash in to pay their bills. But there's a bigger issues that have to be looked at, a more broader comprehensive scope. And I think a lot of businesses miss that because they're afraid to invest in it until they feel they have to. And you don't want to do that. You want to be, like you said, proactive, not reactive.
So now, what's it like when a person is using Abacus? They've worked with other CPAs and they're changing to you, or this is the first time they've had kind of this CFO mentality in their organization?
I've had a hybrid of both. I've worked with some municipalities. I've worked with some other organizations that have had a CFO-like or type of person, but not necessarily with the right expertise. They might have been, labeled a CFO, but they weren't a CPA. They didn't necessarily have the background.
They were just good at math.
Or they were willing to take on. So I have done a lot in healthcare. And when you have the small practitioner office, it's just, doctors are relatively pretty smart, right? So who's just going to go ahead and agree to take care of the bookkeeping and the filing the taxes and keeping in compliance? So it's typically sometimes just that person who's willing to do it or someone on their board who's volunteering that,
right,
has maybe a CPA and has a little bit of time, spare time to go and help. But no one that's truly dedicated to comprehensively looking at the business and helping them get a strategic plan in place and then following through with that and changing and adjusting as needed.
So now, when you're working with them, what does those first conversations look like? What's that onboarding look like?
I like to listen, because no matter how smart I may think I am or how much expertise I may believe I have, you have to understand a business's operations to understand and help them with their finances. So I need to know where you've been, where you're at, and where you want to go. So the first conversations is me truly listening to you and understanding what you've been frustrated with, what hasn't happened, and then I can probably fill the gaps and tell you things you haven't even thought about, mm-hmm. but then work on those things that's also most important. Typically, someone in that position is probably going to come because either, I get this a lot, Irene, I really need you to help me with my taxes, and I haven't filed them for the past 3 years. That's the typical general conversation, and I know I need to file. People have this 3 year.
So they know they need to file, but they didn't know that after 1 year or 2 years, it was the third year that they're like, you know what? I think I should get around to doing that. It's like cleaning my garage, you know?
I hear 3 years a lot because I think people get a little confused. So with the IRS regs, you don't typically have to file for 3 years if you don't owe. So if the IRS owes you a refund back, and if you don't file for 3 years, you'll get that refund within the 3 year filing right. period plus interest earned on that. But that's not, that doesn't
works,
apply
right?
to business owners. So I think people get this three, because I hear it so often.
Right.
I think it's people are just mistaken as to what that 3 years
means. Bad information.
Yeah, because now you, if you do owe, which more most likely some of them will, you got interest and penalties, failure
right.
to file, that's going to cost you a lot more money than it would have if you had what?
Just been, filed.
Just filed. Even if you filed wrong, file.
Right. So now, is there anything that's happening this year? Are there any kind of changes that people should know about?
There are a slew of changes for both individuals and
business.
For business owners. I have some tips. I have some changes.
All right, go fire away. Let's see what you got.
Some of my top ones that I'm telling individuals, especially for the individual taxpayers, there are some good and some not so good changes. Some of them are the 1040 itself has changed. And the 1040 easy is gone. No super simple filing.
There's no postcard.
Yeah, no part like we were promised. No, none of that. And the 1040 itself, the look, the feel has changed. So, you know, that might confuse people who, if they've done it on their own in the past, it's going to look different to you.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are going to change. Things are just different. Your Schedule A miscellaneous expenses and unreimbursed employee expenses are gone. So a lot of changes to the Schedule A, and that's a major one.
Right. That a lot of the things you were deducting.
You can't anymore. And the SALT, the state and local tax, it has a limit of $10,000 now. Before, you could file whatever state and local
right,
tax
whatever it was.
You incurred. Now it's limited to $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Home mortgage interest deduction is lowered to the first $750,000 of the price of the home versus in the past it was $1 million. So some people are like, oh, $750,000, that's not a lot. Certain states. I am originally
right.
from Boston, Massachusetts.
You're from Northeast.
And I have a lot of family in California where some of the houses average $1.5 million.
Exactly. Just for a house the size of this room.
Right. Exactly. Especially in San Francisco. So that's a big hurt there. Personal exemptions are also gone, but standard deductions have increased. To some people, that will help, and to some people, that won't.
Right.
Tax brackets have changed and have been lowered, which is a positive thing. It used to be from 10% to 39.6%. Now it's 10% to 37% with interim brackets in the middle. So the tax brackets have definitely been lowered. So that mm-hmm. will definitely help. Child tax credit has doubled from $1,000 to $2,000.
That'll help some people.
Definitely help. The refundable piece still only goes up to $1,400, but the non-refundable piece goes up to $2,000.
And corporate people benefit from 401k has increased, right?
Yes, they benefit from the 401k. I have some business.
Are there self-employed?
Too.
Did that increase as well? Because isn't that weird? Like if you work for a big corporation, you can put in like, what, almost $20,000 in a 401k?
Well, it's the limits. It's 15. It's 20. A little over 20,000. For the 401k for the businesses, you can put more in. Yeah.
But like an individual, if you're self-employed, you can't put that much in an IRA, right?
Well, it depends. There's different types of IRAs, and there's different types of, that's something I have to talk to you. It's, you can put $20,000 in, it just depends. Mm-hmm. There's different limits and different types of retirement plans.
It seems that the rules are easier for a person who works for a big company as opposed to a self-employed or solopreneur.
They are now. They're different. Mm-hmm. They're very different now. So with some of the pass-through entities, for instance, they instituted what's called the 199A, which is a pass-through income, which you can deduct up to 20% off of your net income. But it's qualified business income, and there's limits. So for a solopreneur who's not married, it's only $157,500, whereas a married person is $315,000.
Right. So this is why you need an expert.
Yes. And you have to plan out your retirement. There's, because there's different ways to do your retirement. It's not a straight answer, because there's trusts, there's estates.
Right. There's a lot of, you have a lot of tools if you know what you're doing.
There's Roth IRAs, there's your traditional IRA, which when you're talking about 401k. So it's not necessarily a straight answer.
And it may not be the same answer for any one person.
And it changes on age and what you've done previously.
Right. And there's ways to catch up, right, as you get older?
Yes, you can catch up. So that's why I'm saying the amounts, there's limits and max, but it does vary.
And it's case by case.
Yes. Also, business interest rules have changed. Now, this won't hurt most small businesses, because there's exemptions if you have less than $25 million of gross income. But you can only expense up to 30% of your business interest expense, 30% of your adjusted taxable income. So for instance, if you typically write off and you do a lot of debt financing for your organization, in the past you used to be able to write it all off.
Right.
Well, now you can't.
All the interest.
You can't. You can only write off up to 30% of the adjusted gross income. Now, you can carry forward the disallowance through eternity.
Oh, so you can kind of write it off over time.
Over time.
But not like in one fell swoop.
No, not in one fell swoop, which takes tax planning, which is why I'm emphasizing tax planning.
Planning, not tax reacting.
Right. And your net operating loss rules have changed. So it used to be the 2 and 20 rule, which most people are familiar. Well, the 2 has gone away and the 20 has become forever. But there's limits to that too. And you can only carry forward and reduce your taxable liability up to 80%. So in the past, you could just write off your whole net operating loss to what your net operating income was, and you're done. Well, that's, rules have changed now.
Right.
Again, tax planning.
And that's where Abacus comes in. You're having these conversations not, 2 days before April 15th or 17th, whatever the number is this year.
Right. So I recommend to...
How often should I be having a conversation with my Abacus person? Is it quarterly? It can't be when it's time to do the taxes, right?
So I recommend for individuals, when you come in for your tax return, say if it's your first time and you come in for your tax return, you should also be talking about tax planning. And then you should be meeting with your CPA again, either at the end of third quarter or beginning of fourth quarter, because like you said, there are
things you
can
do.
Things you can do, like contributing to your retirement plan, increasing your charitable deductions, opening up a trust. There's various things you can do that can help lower your tax liability.
That's the operative word.
Yes, legally lower your tax liability. And for business owners, like I said earlier, I recommend a quarterly basis that you take a look and you forecast and you project out when your quarterly estimated tax payments is filed. You should also be looking at your tax planning. It probably shouldn't change that much on a quarterly basis, but if you already have to address taxes at that point, why not at least look at it?
Right. Now, for you, what has been the most rewarding part? Have you had a client where you've gone in there and they thought something was going to happen and you were able to make some change and maybe save them some money and they're like, oh.
Oh, yes. So there have been clients that are like, I didn't know that existed. So one of the things I try to tell people, tax planning is not just for the rich. And that is actually something I'm working on. I do public speaking.
That sounds like a good speech topic.
Right. And it is. It's a speech. The content I'm pulling together, I have trained financial literacy for nonprofit organizations and smaller businesses.
So you do talks for nonprofits?
Yeah. I was a chief financial officer of my last organization before I founded Abacus. So I spoke a lot at financial seminars,
at conferences,
public speaking for our grantees and things of that nature. So, but at the end of the day, what's been most rewarding is when I can get somebody to understand the necessity, whether it's me or another CPA, and have the necessity of understanding tax planning. We can deal with the tax resolution side, and that's great, but I don't want you to get to that. So if I can help someone grow their business, increase their profits, lower their tax liability, and just feel more financially secure, that makes me happy.
Right,
and that keeps my clients with me, too.
Exactly. So now, do you have a team?
I have a team. I actually have a satellite office in Boston and a satellite office in Detroit. I have a couple other CPAs that work for me, tax specialists and enrolled agents.
Mm-hmm. And so, but are your clients all over the country, or they tend to be in the cities that you have satellite offices?
I have some in California because I have a large family presence in California. So there's a lot of referral. A lot of my business is based on referral.
I would imagine.
So people who know me, I have a very big family. California, Boston, and Detroit and Atlanta is where the majority, well, the Southeast, I should say.
And then, so when you're working with somebody, you like to get in early, not at a crisis, not when you get an IRS letter.
Right.
Because sometimes that happens, right?
Right. And we can deal with that. Like I said, we can definitely deal with that and get you out of trouble. But my goal is to keep you from getting in
trouble to begin with.
But people get audited. I mean, I've been audited. People get audited. You randomly get audited,
right,
or there are red flags, or just, you know, sometimes it's an algorithm and the computer spits your name out. But so it's one thing to get audited for just random reasons. It's another because you're not filing your taxes properly and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, because you can actually go to jail for this. Al Capone could tell you that.
Right, exactly. So now, what do you need more of? How can we help you?
I always need more clients, exposure. I am trying to expand my business. I am trying to reach more of that business owner and individual who's trying to secure their financial futures, who understand and need that tax planning, who want to stay out of trouble, and they want to be able to send their kids to college, want to be able to expand their business and add employees, want to buy a home or buy an additional home.
Right. That's a whole other thing. You're a solopreneur. You think you're beating the system, right?
Yeah.
By deducting everything. But when it's time to get a loan, all of a sudden that income matters, right?
Income definitely does matter.
So you should know, like, hey, I want to get a home in 2-3 years. You might have to make some adjustments on what you're showing you make.
Right. Not just even a home, a line of credit to grow your business. It's important, you know, people to get their business owners to get their Dun & Bradstreet and build up their business credit. That's another thing business owners tend to fail. You worry about your personal credit, but you forget about your business credit.
Right. And that's where you come in.
Yes.
Where you can, because they don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
Right. And you know a lot more because this is all you've been doing
for a long time. I'm not going to give away my age.
So if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can reach me at iborum@abacuscpallc.com, or they can call me at 678-462-5580. And we have a website, which is www.abacuscpallc.com.
Well, Irene, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Sanjay Touré. We will see you all next time on WeWork Radio.